No Show.
Blog Talk Radio.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is music by Al Lockett, my dear friend, from the album Friends We Meet Along the Way. Welcome to the No Show. I am your host, Reverend Robert J. V. McMillan, and it is my pleasure, along with guest co-host Carrie Kelly, to invite your participation in this, your No Show, on the RBR network of positive shows built around your interests and life. How are things working for you? How do you know that it's working? What are you doing to make things good for yourself, your family, and others outside of your circle of influence? This is a show about new thought and metaphysics. New thought simply means a new way of thinking, and metaphysics means moving or looking beyond the physical to look in between the spaces and to know that there, where nothing is, God is, peace is, love is, and joy is. But it is up to us to find it, to move into that space, and to appreciate and take advantage of the opportunities that God, universal impersonal principle, is providing for us, the space where healings are taking place literally right in front of our eyes. You may join our conversation on the No Show by dialing in at 347-838-9142 if you are online with us, and pressing 1 if you have a question or would like to add a comment to the conversation. We can also be reached on the World Wide Web at www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford the No Show. We are so excited that you have decided to spend a few of your LPEs, your life's precious energy, with us this evening on the No Show. Let me tell you a little bit about this fabulous lady that is our guest, Reverend Michelle K. Senegal. She is a former senior minister at the Spiritual Empowerment Center for Spiritual Living in Baltimore, Maryland, having faithfully served there for 11 years. And now, Sister Girl is about to do a new thing. Behold, all things are made new. We will discuss spiritual guidance and intuition, faith and perseverance, how to keep on keeping on in the midst of the storms of life, how to overcome life's challenges and come out on the other side with faith, fortitude, and the knowledge that my faith is strong enough to carry me through the storms of life. She has been a student of metaphysics since 1985, and she has done some phenomenal things with Michael Beckwith out in California and a number of other people as president of Management Dynamics since 1990. She works with corporate leaders nationwide to create and maintain organizational cultures which value diversity and inclusion while experiencing robust profitability, but always knowing that spirit undergirds every moment, everything that we do. We will discuss her latest book this evening. I'm excited to share that with you. We're excited, Carrie Kelly and I, to let you know that we're going to make you aware of where it is that you can get this fabulous book and what it is that is in some of this book. She's going to share some of that with us. The book is called Inspiration in Small Doses. Inspiration in Small Doses, Uplifting Short Stories and Essays by Michelle K. Senegal. And we welcome her right now to this program. We are so excited that she decided to spend her LPEs with us. Good evening, Michelle. How are you?
Outstanding. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. We are so grateful that you stopped by here to spend. It's not like you're a stranger either, because you've been here before. You know, so the second time that you come in, or the third time that you come in, or the fourth time that you come in, Michelle, you can just go ahead and kick your shoes off. We'll give you a pair of slippers to put on. We'll give you a hot toddy to make you comfortable. But from that point on, you got to go for yourself, okay? Is that all right with you?
Invite me back.
Absolutely. That's why you're here, because we're excited for who it is that you are. You and I have known each other for a very, very long time. I believe we met there at our dear friend Butch Mosby's church, Millage Mosby, if we're going to be proper, the center in Bowie,
Unity
Maryland.
Unity Center of Light. Correct.
Unity Center of Light is the specific name. Butch and I have been friends, of course, since the 80s, where we were with Amalia Frank, and he and Pam was the business manager, and he was the business manager, and Pam was secretary for the church. So we've been knowing each other a long, long time, and you and I met there at Unity Center of Light and have been friends ever since, have played a little bit of tennis together, didn't get to play a lot, but we will have many, many, many more opportunities now that you are doing things a little differently and you have more space and more time to do those things that you want to do. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about what it is that you are doing now, where you've come from. You've left your little center in Baltimore, Maryland. I believe they're on Charles Street. As a matter of fact, I know because you had me speak there. And so tell us what's going on.
Well, actually, they've moved. They're in a new space. They're no longer there. They're on Yellowwood.
Right, but they were there. They were there when I was there. They were there when I was there, and the times that I've spoken, which have been numerous, both before you came and after you came. That's where we were then. But tell us what's going on with you, what you're excited about, and where you're going.
Well, I'm excited about the future, and this is a really good time for me in that I get to create whatever it is I want to do next. And so that's always exciting. I'm no longer bound by geography or territory or bricks and mortar. And as a consequence, my goal and my objective is to be a place for individual and world transformation. And one of the ways that I can accomplish that is by being online, being on air, and through publishing. And so my focus for at least the next couple of years will be to publish more, to reach more people, to get the word out, to be an example to those who need to be uplifted, motivated, and inspired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you are doing this through the vehicle of not only your book and programs like this, but you are also traveling and on the speaker's circuit with your beautiful book.
As a matter of fact, I will be at Unity Center of Light on this Sunday, the 22nd, in Bowie, Maryland. So that's been exciting. I've been all around the DMV to start, and my plans are to go international. I'll be in Atlanta next week, so the opportunities are just endless.
Excellent, excellent. Tell us about the response to your book, how long it's been out, and how it is that people are using it, even before we get into your reading some of the short stories that are a part of that. Tell us what the response has been so far to your book.
The book actually went live on Amazon on the 15th of February, and the response and receptivity has been quite favorable, and that's why I have been, although I've been on leave of absence, I've spoken just about every Sunday since I went on leave, which has been a little over 2 months, and that's because it is so well-received, and I'm able to incorporate the stories into my sermons and entertain questions, not only about what I have written about, but then also just the spiritual journey as a consequence of putting pen to paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
It's been well received, and I'm just overjoyed and just so grateful that I am touching people and people are hearing what they need to hear from my words and
mm-hmm.
from my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us how it is that people are using this book. And actually, even before you do that, if you don't mind, Michelle, I'd like to just read a little bit, not from the book, but just share with people what the table of contents is. Here's the table of contents, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we have the dedication, the acknowledgments, and the introduction up front. But then part one, many of you I know right now really want to know about this part. It's called Work, Money, and Success, okay? That's part one. And under that is Cyber Job Search, Money, The Big Scary Ogre, Swiss Alps, Look Out, Here I Come. So I can't wait for Reverend Michelle to share with us what all of that is about. Part two is this. It's about perseverance. And Lord knows we know that. Any of us that have children, and those of us especially who have grandchildren, you know, children of our children, we want to know about this part two, which says perseverance. And here are the captions underneath that underneath part two. When drowning in 2 feet of water, do this. Just stand. Ha! I love it. I can't wait to hear about that. The next one says, from cleaning rags to riches. And then the next one is, which I am really wanting to hear about, is holy matrimony. Okay, holy matrimony. Because who knows, one day Spirit might say the same and I might decide to be holy matrimonial. Okay, so part three, though, is change. And Lord knows we all go through that whether we want to or not. Quincy Jones said everything must change. And so under part three, change, are two labels, and that's seasons of change and then forever changed. All right, that sounds interesting too, doesn't it? Part four is gratitude. Gratitude. Be thankful for your God-given gifts and talents is number one, and then knowing that gratitude raises our vibration. I assume that's our spiritual vibration. That's how we are showing up in the world. Even before the physical me gets there, I have shown up because Spirit has gone forth before me to make straight the crooked path, light the darkened hallway, and to remove any obstacles. And then the last part, I guess, part five, is grace, love, and forgiveness. And under that, we have The Tale of Two Sisters, and then we have Loved from Afar. So I want to turn it over to you for the next 5 minutes, Michelle, and let you go forth and share with us whatever it is that you would like to share at this point, please.
Well, how about I read very quickly, when drowning in 2 feet of water, just stand.
Okay.
It starts,
all right.
It starts with a quote by Donnie McClurkin. What do you do when you've done all you can and it seems like you can't make it through? What do you do when there's nothing left to do? Child, you just stand. So I had a near-death experience at about the age of six, and it happened one day when I was fishing with one of my mother's suitors, Jerry. A little fishing boat capsized in a lake in Southern California. I didn't know how to swim because my mother feared the water and rarely took us to the beach, although we lived in Los Angeles just a short distance from the beaches that stretch from Santa Monica to Manhattan. I had inherited that same fear, so unable to swim, I panicked when I fell in the lake. I did everything that could have led to my demise. Flailing my arms, bobbing up and down below the surface, and in the process, swallowing most of the lake. So finally, I yelled to my mother's friend, Jerry, and he saved me. He put me back inside the boat. And you know what? Now that I think back, it really was a small canoe, But I was only 6 years old at the time, and everything just seemed so big. I thought we were on the Titanic. So fast forward 25 years to a time when I almost drowned again, one frightening day while frolicking with my children in the raging waters at Disney World. My children, they know how to swim because I made certain that they did. Brianna was 7 and Sharif was 9 when we partook of all the thrilling rides and water activities that Orlando had to offer. My children loved to play in the water, whether it was swimming, whitewater rafting, running and jumping on the slip and slide. They just loved to be in water. They were in Olympic-sized swimming pools before they could even walk across the room without falling. I didn't want them growing up with that ominous fear of death of drowning like I had. So when I begged and I pleaded to play in the raging waters, much to my chagrin, and I obliged. It was fun splashing in the cool water on a 100-degree Fahrenheit day with 95% humidity. 30 or so minutes into my hydro massage, the floodgates opened. I hadn't known that there was any significance to the name of the play area, Raging Waters. I found out quickly, though, when the force of the waves knocked me down. My eyes opened as wide as saucers, and my arms flailed to keep my head above the waves. But the water continued to rush out with great force, and that my attempts to keep my head above the water seemed to be increasingly in vain. So Sharif yelled to the lifeguard, "Save my mom! She's drowning!" The lifeguard yelled from his director's chair, "Just stand!" But in my panic state, my mind couldn't comprehend what he was saying. I was too busy fighting for my life. In a flash, the lifeguard got off his chair and lifted me out of the water until I was standing. And when I finally calmed down and regained my composure, I looked down to see that I was, in fact, just standing in about 6 feet of water. My near-death experience symbolizes a great metaphor for the struggles that we allow to drown us. They seem humongous while we're going through them, but once we've processed and worked through them, they often appear so small and shallow. Instead of panicking and flailing in our troubles, we simply need to just stand, be still, collect our wits, relax, and access the ever-available reservoir of resources that are available to us. Drowning is believed to be one of the worst kinds of death to suffer. It's painful and disempowering. Drowning is in our problems feels much the same way, painful and disempowering. Yet, there is an alternative. Just stand. Stand in the experience. Meeting it head on, stand on principle and trust. And I end with an affirmation, and that affirmation is, I do not drown in my problems. They have no power over me. I face them head on. I allow myself to feel whatever emotions rise to the surface. And when I've done all that I can, I just stand and let the still waters of spirit guide, nurture, and heal me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Michelle Senegal, our dear friend in Maryland and all over the world. The book is called Inspiration in Small Doses, Uplifting Short Stories and Essays, information that is something that we all can relate to, things that we all at some point or another have gone through. And now what it is that we are about the business of doing is just knowing that God is in charge and that regardless of whatever it is that is going on, we can handle it. We can handle it. A couple of things came up for me with that reading from your book, Michelle, and the first one was fear. Fear.
Yes.
You know, fear just reaches out and it grabs us. And oftentimes it is because of that next word, which I wrote down, which was our history. You remembered an experience in your past where water had not been your friend. And so, therefore, you assumed, you thought that here we go again. Now, what the hell is going on? Here we go again. And not only am I going to drown, but I'm drowning in front of my children. What's that going to be like for them? And OMG. So those things are coming from the reading that you just shared with us, for me, are just phenomenal. Let me bring Carrie Kelly in here because I want to know from her what her thoughts were in hearing that excerpt from your book. Carrie, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's funny because, like, the first thing that I thought about was how brave she was to, first of all, get in the water with her kids. I got grandchildren, and there's a pool in the backyard, and I refuse to get in that pool. I am not getting in that pool. And it's only 4 feet deep. It is only 4 feet deep, but I am not getting in that pool. I'm like,
Carrie, just stand. You can just stand.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I too,
that's
but
right.
The water is so cold.
It's so what, Carrie?
Cold. The water is cold.
Okay. All right. Okay. I got you. And you know what? The interesting thing about what you're saying, Carrie, is that we will find excuse after excuse after excuse to keep us from doing that which will also bring us joy. Because your little people are not 4 feet tall. Some of them are even smaller than that. So they need for you to hold them up. But think of all the joy that they experience in the water and what it would feel like for them to have you holding them there and how that experience would then transfer to you. You follow what I'm saying, Carrie?
Yes,
because
sir,
what we do is
yes,
we use...
sir, I got
we,
it.
We use spiritual replacement therapy, SRT. We use that to then replace whatever that pain is. And if we do that, then everything will be all right. Does that make sense to you, Michelle?
Yes, it does. And I just want to say, too, that after that, I did learn how to swim because we put a pool in our house in Miami, and there was no way I was not going to get in it.
So as long as
we have the motivation and the desire, we can overcome our fears.
Absolutely, absolutely. I thank you for sharing that, Carrie, because you know, that's how people also grow out of their fears, and that's what this program and other similar programs on the RBR, the Renford Broadcast Radio Network, are all about. The No Show is about how is it that you are showing up in the world. What is it that you are doing to make a difference, and how do you know that you are making a difference? And when you know that you are making a difference, how is that? How is that showing up for you? Well, obviously, for Michelle Senegal and her book, Inspiration in Small Doses, it is showing up through these uplifting short stories and essays that she is sharing with us this evening. Do you have another one that you'd like to share, Michelle?
Sure. I'll share one about spiritual guidance, but let me just lay the foundation very quickly in terms of what that means to me. It's that inner wisdom that's inborn, and it's a natural gift that God has given us. And we know things, yet we don't know how we know those things. And if they're for our higher good, if they're for the good of others, that we can trust that that is God's way of speaking to us, to our intuition. So when you intuit, just do it. Here's a little story, and it's called Divine Guidance Comes in Many Ways. And so the
Divine
quote is,
guidance comes in many ways.
Yes.
Okay.
And so the quote is, with people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So the days that followed one of the most disturbing times of my life were quiet and peaceful, just like the calm after a storm. For about 4 months, my world was turned upside down like a capsized boat slammed by 40-foot waves during a typhoon. I'm referring to the wake that ensued when I declined the marriage proposal of a suitor. To be someone's wife is the wish of most women, young and old alike, mine too, but under the right circumstances. And in my mind, the right circumstances are simply being loved purely for who I am. But after 4 months of dating an undocumented immigrant came the romantic down on one knee proposal of marriage, will you marry me? I never expected the reaction I got to the two-letter word, that little small word, no, in response to that unexpected premature question. The dam burst right before my very eyes. Epithets infused with venom sprayed my way. Doors slammed as threats to my life and the lives of my children echoed from beyond. The interesting thing is that my reaction was I was not afraid, but rather with every sinew and cell of my being, I vowed to keep my children safe from the gale and out of harm's way. It was amazing how calm I remained after being spooked on a daily basis. I'm going to fast forward a little bit because this story is a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it started out in a development I had just moved in, and it was new, and so the block is about three-quarters of a mile long, but there were only four houses on the block at the time. And so this individual, my stalker, my nemesis, he found the darkest, blackest hiding places to jump out of the shadows, to scare me, to spook me. And he would yell things like, you will marry me, or I will haunt you to your death. And he escalated his surprise appearances by showing up in Dallas, Los Angeles, in Atlanta, where I was on business travel. He was a hacker of sorts, and he accessed my computerized work calendar, which contained the details of every trip, hotels, airlines, dates. He would even change my phone messages on my business line to one that impugned my professional reputation. And before I even activated my new numbers, which I was constantly changing, he would call me on those lines just to tease and annoy me. So the tipping point for me was when he showed up at my father's house, threatening to kill him to make me feel guilty for ruining his life. Had I been an atheist, I think I would have immediately become a believer in reaction to the guidance that I received that could only have come from God. I was working in my office one day when the letters INS floated across my computer screen, and they were followed by FBI. The computer was on, but I really wasn't even working at the computer. I was designing a course on a yellow legal pad, paper, and pen. And in a moment of careful contemplation, I took a look at the screen to notice those letters. Every night, I prayed for divine guidance to get out of that predicament and to get out of it for good. And I asked Spirit to communicate to me in ways that I would understand. So the Immigration Naturalization Service, INS, made perfect sense to me, but the FBI, that left me clueless. But by this time, you all, I had hired a bodyguard to accompany me on my travels to New York, where my stalker lived and where I worked often. My bodyguard and I were on the phone chatting about my next trip, and I mentioned the miracle and asked if he knew the significance of the FBI in this scenario. And he said, FBI, tampering with your phone, He said, that's an FCC violation and a crime that the FBI is responsible for addressing. So several days after my return from the Empire State, I called the FBI. They asked me to come to the office, and I recounted everything that had happened to me. And they did not want to get involved. They thought, oh, that's just a domestic dispute. We're not going to get involved in that. They began to take me seriously when I produced a check in the thousands that I had written to him and he had cashed. Yes, I endeavored to buy back my peace of mind. Well, that ploy only infuriated him more. And after cashing the check, the harassment resumed. I recorded all of his threats and took the recordings to the FBI. They had enough evidence to have him arrested by the INS. And that did happen. However, he was released after only 72 hours because of a communications breakdown. So he was very perturbed by that point. He was upset and said, you have the audacity to report me to the authorities? So then he escalated his little ploys. He stole my car, and he drove it to New York. I reported the car stolen, and I was really happy about him stealing my car. You know why? Because I knew that he would be arrested for grand theft auto. So after several days, they found my car parked at a train station in Buffalo. He had fled to Canada. Oh, I was so relieved. And the thought that I would finally have peace of mind again and my life restored to some normalcy was just wonderful. I severed the 3 weeks of the mundane routines of everyday life, like the cool waves of the ocean on my body on a scorching day. But soon, the harassment began again. And I recorded those and took them to the FBI. However, by this time, interest was tweaked. A felonious illegal had slipped through their fingers on their watch. So we planned a sting. That 007 stuff is really cool, you all. After several weeks of pretending that I had a change of heart and telling him that I was willing to marry him, he returned via Amtrak to Maryland for our reunion. And as soon as he approached my car, he was apprehended by the FBI. This time, he was detained for 2 years before being deported back to Central America. In his mind, deportation back to poverty and crime in a crime-ridden country was punishment worse than death. But I'll tell you, had it not been for my prayer, had it not been for my meditation and staying in close connection with God and believing that if I prayed that there would be a spiritual solution to my situation, I don't think that I could have endured the harassment and the threats much longer. But God is always on time, in time, every time. So fast forward 14 years later, he called me one day to apologize for the ways in which that he had disrupted my life. And I actually forgave him because I understand that desperate people take desperate measures. So the affirmation is this: answers to your prayers. Then listen for the voice from beyond. Heed the word of God and find peace. All will be right with your soul. And so it is.
Wow. Wow. That is phenomenal. What an experience. And the challenging, if you will, part of this is that this is not a story. This is not a Hollywood caption. This is a life that you have lived, some things that you have gone through. And here we also see how it is and how it was that spirit, the God force, universal and personal principle, was right there with you, was making certain that you were taken care of, that you were okay. But, you know, I have to ask you, how did you know, though, that you were okay? How did you come to the conclusion that God was in charge and that regardless of whatever it was that happened, especially given obviously this man's capability for reaching you wherever you were, how did you come to the awareness of being okay, Michelle?
Well, I believe that by listening to that inner guidance and fully recognizing what feeling came up for me and would come up for me whenever Spirit revealed things to me, and Spirit reveals things to me in myriad ways, and there was just a feeling of rightness. This is right. This is divine guidance. Act on it. And so that's when I came up with that little slogan, if you intuit, you must do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so although I may have thought it was ridiculous initially, I followed my intuition. It wasn't ridiculous. And see, that's the way God works. The computer is on. I'm not typing in. I'm not doing a web search. But the letters, INF, showed up on the screen.
Mm.
And to the rational mind, that would be, oh, that is just so weird, and you might throw your computer away. Oh, this computer is crazy. But rather, I recognized that that was how God was getting my attention.
Mm.
And so for me, whenever there is that feeling of absolute certainty and rightness, then I know God's got me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. God's got your back, your front, your top, and your bottom, and you are surrounded by divine love and light. And it's one thing to say that, though, you know, when we're safe and secure and stable, but to be able to say that in the midst of that challenging opportunity that was before you is something totally, totally different. So we are so grateful. But, you know, again, those three words that I always use, serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. Had you not gone through that experience, you would not have been able to put it into context for yourself, write this phenomenal book that you have written about these experiences, and now help somebody else to know that they too can overcome. They too will be all right. And that God's got this thing, regardless of what it is, what it seems like, God is still on the throne. I want for you to stand by for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we are visiting with a dear friend of mine, Michelle Senegal. And she has written a phenomenal book that we are discussing. We want for you to know that you can pick it up at Amazon.com. You may go there this evening immediately after the show. Don't want you to leave just yet because she's got some other good things to share with you that are going to almost blow your mind. But this is the Renford Broadcast Radio Network. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. And every Wednesday, we invite spirit-filled people like Michelle Senegal to stop by and share with us what's going on with them, how they are making a difference in the world. And she, right now, is doing it through this phenomenal book that she has put together for you that you can pick up at Amazon.com, and we're going to give you more information on that in a little while. But we also have additional shows on our network. Rhonda Harrison is one of the persons that has phenomenal shows on our network, and she is available for you to hear different things. Rhonda comes to us from Red Feathers Lakes, Colorado, way, 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 way up in the mountains, and she is phenomenal, and she, too, will enlighten your spirit and lighten your load. We also, of course, have James Renford Powell, who has given us so much in so many different ways, the I Am material that he does, as well as so many other things. And then Cecil McDaniel is another of the individuals on this network that also has an awesome show that you want to catch, because it's about R&B, rhythm and blues. It's about music, the sound of Stax, which was, as most of us know who were involved in this, as a former radio announcer, a DJ in the 60s, Stax stood out for me. And so I know that it does for many of you as well. So please, please, please come back to the Renford Broadcast Radio Network. Just scroll through, take a look at all of the things that we have available for you to be a part of, for the experiences that can certainly be yours at any time that you want. We are visiting this evening with my dear friend and cohort spiritually, and she has written a phenomenal little book called Inspiration in Small Doses. And by the way, it's actually not a little book, I assure you, because I have a copy of it. It's a wonderful book, though. Inspiration in Small Doses, Uplifting Short Stories and Essays, all right, by Michelle Senegal. And MichelleSynegal. And you may pick that up. Where is it, Michelle, that they can get the book?
They can get it online at Amazon.com, AbbottPress.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Books a Million, or from me personally.
Okay, excellent. And how do they get it from you personally? Where would you like for them to send their request to you?
They can email me at michelle.senegal@yahoo.com, and then I can send a book to them if they want to get it directly from me. Or they can show up at some of my speaking engagements and just follow me on Facebook, and you'll know where I am.
Excellent, excellent. And that's michelle.senegal, Michelle K.
Yes.
Senegal. And she was mentioning Abbott Press, Books a Million. In other words, anywhere where books are sold, you can get it. But why not get the personal experience? Why not go up and find out where it is that Michelle is going to be next, so that you too can be there? And if it's a little bit farther away, because we know we have our folks who are all over the world via the World Wide Web and via telephone systems. So if you can't get there tomorrow or the day after that, it's okay, because then you can still reach out and touch. So we're excited that is the case. Let me bring Carrie Kelly back in here in our last 17 or so minutes, because, Carrie, there was a piece that you read in Michelle's book that you liked a lot. Can you tell us a little bit about that and ask her to expound on that piece, please?
Oh, yes. First, let me say that the last one you just read gave me chills. I was just really impressed by your willingness to follow the guidance, because I know sometimes for me I'll get the guidance, but following it and following through, I might fall down on the job. So I'm really grateful that you followed through with the information that Spirit sent your way. Now, the story that I liked was the one where you went skiing. That was funny to me. I had the best laugh, because I spent some time in Arkansas, and when they told me they had temperatures like 7, I was foreign. That was foreign to me because I'm a California born and raised. I don't do temperatures like 7. And when you said in your story that it was like 5 below 0, I was like, okay, no, I'm done. I got to hear this.
Actually, it was 9 below.
That's even worse.
I know. It was 9 below, and I was in Racine, Wisconsin.
Oh,
it gets very cold there. The good news, though, is that it's dry, and so it's not to the bone kind of cold. So it's a lot more palatable than being in a cold, wet climate.
Oh no, I'm from California. I know nothing about that. Nothing at all.
So
Carrie, it gets below 50 degrees and I'm cold. I don't know.
Carrie, can you share with Michelle what your take was on the piece? Can you give us a little bit about the piece that you read from that and ask her to expound upon it, please?
Yes. The fact that you went skiing, I mean, period, and the fact that you, like, wanted to learn how to ski because you were competitive, and, like, I would be hanging out in the cabin with the chocolate, with the hot chocolate and the fire while everybody else is out there. So I want to go ahead and, like, tell the story or, you know, read pieces of it about how you were taking the lessons and just learning how to ski so you wouldn't get laughed at.
Embarrassment will motivate us. It's a great motivator, and I didn't want to be embarrassed anymore. And I've come a long way since that time because now skiing is one of my absolute passions. I don't do it as often as I would like, but for many, many years, weeks on end, I would go to different resorts all around the world, in fact, to ski. So let me share a little bit. I'll do it really, really quickly. Swiss Alps, look out, here I come. And so the quote is, persistent people begin their success where others end in failure. I'm an athlete. I can do this. This is what I told myself the entire week as I took last place at the end of every ski run. When I agreed with my husband, Thomas, and a group of our closest friends that we needed a winter sport, we chose skiing. I was then oblivious to the fact that physical fitness is a requirement. Don't the skis do all the work? Our first ski adventure took place only a few months after I gave birth to my first child, Cherie, and I was 30 pounds over my pre-pregnancy weight and hadn't seen the inside of a gym for over a year. I was adjusting to motherhood and holding down a full-time job. I had started playing tennis again 6 weeks after delivery, but that wasn't enough to get fit for walking in boots that weighed 5 pounds each, having one on each foot, and being strapped to them. At first, I was so clumsy that I stumbled over the tips of my skis and fell down just trying to stand still. But my excitement and enthusiasm were never lost. Because I'm so competitive, I didn't let my failed attempts at skiing get the best of me. After the first ski trip, I decided to consult my dear friend, Katie, who grew up in Racine, Wisconsin. And she had skied many, many weekends during her lifetime. So once I visited her in January when the temperature was 9 degrees below 0, ooh, my teeth, they still chatter at the memory. But discreetly, I approached her about teaching me to ski. I wanted private lessons without the pressure of being teased for being the last one down the mountain yet again. So she agreed. I had a small baby at home, so we would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive to Lake Tahoe, which was about 3.5 hours from Oakland. And we chose Alpine Meadows, one of the lake winter resorts. So we began. On the drive up, she coached me. She asked me to visualize coming down the mountain in full control, wind at my back, smile on my face. I always had the designer suits on and the custom boots, so my appearance was impeccable. I just needed a little skiing ability to make those outfits the object of onlookers' attention rather than the sight of my body sprawled out horizontally on the snow. Having managed to graduate from the wedge method and then able to get on and off the lift chair, major accomplishment, without mishap, with Katie's guidance, I started skiing the blue runs. Those are the intermediate runs. She was very patient with me. She encouraged me to relax and enjoy the experience. Up and down the same run a dozen times before I was totally confident and at ease. At the start of the seventh run, I was mentally psyched to race her because I'm so competitive. But she's been skiing all her life, so of course she beat me. But I was only a couple of minutes behind her. And I knew that if I could stay on my feet and match her speed, that I would dust the others the next time we went skiing. So 2 years and 10 private ski lessons later, Thomas and I went skiing in Zermatt, Switzerland. That's a winter wonderland. We were chauffeured to the ski runs by horse-drawn sleighs. The snow was naturally in perfect condition, and at the end of the day, hot chocolate awaited us at the lodge. That was one of the best experiences of my life, making all the early morning runs to Lake Tahoe and back worth it. Some of my friends quit after that first experience, and they will never know the pleasure of riding high in the sky and taking in the beauty of the snow-covered mountains, clear blue skies, or sharing hot chocolate in front of the fireplace with loved ones at the end of a perfect ski day.
Awesome.
That's it.
I love it. I love it. Very, very, very wonderful. What is the title of that in your book?
That's Look Out, Swiss Alps, Here I Come.
Yeah, look out, here I come. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we have many of you that are online with us, as well as those who are have called in by telephone. And if you would like to respond or make a statement during the last 5 minutes of our program, we invite you, if you're on the phone, to hit one. If you will hit one, then we will bring you in to the conversation and allow you to ask your question, so that Michelle might respond to that. Or if you would like simply to add a comment, perhaps an experience of your own, we invite you to do that as well. One of the comments that we have from our folks, I'm sorry, before I say that, you have to hit one. You have to press one on your phone if you're online with us, so then I will know to bring you into the conversation so that you may ask your question. One of the comments that we have from online, Michelle, is how does spiritual awareness fit into what it is that you are doing, and how did this book come about, and was any of that relative to spiritual awareness?
Oh, it's all relative to spiritual awareness. As I grow spiritually, I start to discern all the events of my life from a different vantage point, and that discernment is spiritual. I look for the meaning for my life, the significance. I look at my soul's unfoldment through these life experiences and stories. And if I were not spiritually aware, I would not have that ability. And so this book actually was written at one of the most challenging times in my life. And it was my spirituality that enabled me to continue to put pen to paper to produce a book. I lost both my mother and my father as I was writing this book. And, so it was, again, having that relationship with my higher power, being aware of it and how it supports me, loves me, and is always for me, never against me, that enabled me to persevere and produce this. And you used the word synchronicity earlier. This book,
right.
there were a few holdups in terms of when it was actually published. It was actually scheduled to come out way before it did. And what I know is that my mom passed, and initially the book had been dedicated to my father. So when my mom passed, I called the publisher, Hold the Press. I want to dedicate this to both my mom and my dad. That was on the 14th of February. On the 15th, the publisher called and said, your book is live on Amazon.
Wow.
I know that was divine intervention. The book was delayed because it needed to be delayed so that my mom could be acknowledged as well.
Awesome, awesome. And, you know, it's all spirit. Whenever it is that we really turn our lives over to the care and the goodness of God that is within us, the God force that is within us, then we recognize that it is all God. And the interesting thing is, at least for me, and I think for you as well, Michelle, is that then I say, how come I didn't do this earlier? You know, why was it that it took me so long to do this, you know? And so, but it's okay because all of it happens in its own time when it should happen, and with the goodness and the grace and the peace and the serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality that is a part of who it is that we are and where it is that we are to go. So we're excited about all of the good things that that are. Share with us. We've got about a minute and a half left. Tell us where it is that you're going from here, what all that you're going to be involved in for the next 3 months or so, and tell people again the name of your book and where they can get it, please.
So for the next 3 months, I will continue to accept speaking engagements, and I'm not limited by geography. So I'll be all around the area. Most immediately next week, I'll be in, or in Sunday, actually, I'll be in Bowie, Maryland, Unity Center of Light, and it's also a book signing that's going to occur there. The following week, I'll actually be in Atlanta, Georgia. The name of the book is Inspiration in Small Doses, Uplifting Short Stories and Essays. And the essays are actually sermons that I delivered. And you can purchase the book on all of the major outlets such as Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Abbott Press, just to name a few. You can also show up at some of my speaking engagements. Follow me on Facebook, and you'll know where I am. I tend to post before I show up places, and you can meet me there, and I'd be happy to autograph a book for you.
Excellent. Absolutely. And I want to just thank you on behalf of Kerry Kelly and the Renford Broadcast Radio Network for taking time out of your schedule to be a part of this experience. It is always a pleasure to have you with me. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, my dear friend, Reverend C. Will Mercer, will be here with us. He has done a book of women in the New Thought Metaphysical Movement and the positive progressive movement that is where it is now because of women. Women like my guest, Michelle Senegal, and others who are paving the way now for the ones that are coming behind them. There were women that paved the way for these others that are in front of us. So we invite you to come back. We're so grateful that you decided to spend a few of your LPEs, your life's precious energy, with us this evening on The No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. We look forward to talking to you, to hearing from you, to speaking with you, to praying with you, and to being with you in the ways that Spirit would have us to be so. On behalf of Michelle Senegal and Kerry Kelly, I thank you for this opportunity to allow us into your homes, into your automobiles, and wherever it is that you are right now, and we know that all is well because we have deemed it so. We know that this is as it should be, and from now on shall always be. God bless you. Take care, Reverend Michelle.
Thank
we will
you.
Talk
Thank
with
you,
you
so
soon,
much for
my dear
me.
Friend. It was my pleasure for certain, and we will catch up with you on the other side. God bless everybody. Take care. Have a great, great week. Until next week, we'll see you then. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye for now.